When I was a teenager, my paternal grandmother, who had been widowed, remarried. And at the time, I think she was 75 and he was like 82. And she knew that we wouldn't be able to call him grandfather. And so his name was Luther, so we called him Uncle Luther. Well, he came up to visit us in Illinois, and he was a charming, loving little man. He visited our house, and they stayed with us. And then when they left and went back to Virginia, he wrote us letters and told us that he had left gifts for us hidden around the house. So he would send a letter that would say, go into your closet and on the top shelf there's a white box. And he would send it to me and I would go get it, and it would be some kind of toy or some kind of a handkerchief. Or for my sister, he would send a perfume. He'd leave these things for us, but not tell us, until he wrote a letter back to us and said, this is where you go look for this gift. It was a thing that absolutely delighted us. I don't even remember what the things were anymore. But it just made us feel as if he was still there with us. And it reminded us constantly of how much he loved us. Now, having those things that he had left for us didn't really replace him or his presence, but they let us relive his presence in bringing to mind the love that he had for us and the thoughtfulness. Very often when someone loves you, they don't want to be separated from you. They don't want you to feel left behind. And they may leave you hidden gifts to remind you that they are with you always. Because love is the one force that will not perish or die. In our gospel story today, we begin to hear of how Jesus has left his disciples with a powerful gift. A gift not only reminding them of his love for them, but empowering them to live with that same love which he demonstrated in his earthly life. Jesus says in today's gospel, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." Now this advocate, this Holy Spirit that Jesus would invoke for us or send to us through God, would be letters sent back to recall and recollect, in a sense, the love of God for them, the love of God carried by them to others. Jesus had been with them in the flesh and had become used to that presence, but in this gospel passage, Jesus is preparing them for another way of seeing and experiencing God, something he is calling the advocate. And note that the gospel story says, "We will send you another advocate," as Jesus was their first advocate in the flesh. The advocate he speaks of is the Holy Spirit. It's a bridge, a letter in which Jesus teaches us a different definition of reality, a reality not of flesh, but of spirit. I'm reading a book by Abraham Heschel right now. It's called The Sabbath. And he says this about reality in that book. He says, "Reality to us is thinghood, consisting of substances that occupy space. Even God is conceived by most of us as a thing. The result of our thingness is our blindness to all reality that fails to identify itself as a thing, as a matter of fact." This Holy Spirit that God sends us, this power of God inspiring us and moving in us and comforting us, fails to identify itself as a thing, so we can be extremely uncomfortable with God in that form. Human beings, after all, have always been more comfortable with things because we can own them, control them, possess them, and manipulate them. In fact, in our earliest stories of God and God's people, in our stories in Genesis, humans are given dominion over all things in the world, in the created world. And in that story, they are allowed to name the animals, and that naming of the animals shows that they have dominion or control over the animals. later in the story in Exodus, God tells Moses, I am who I am. He won't give a real name. The emphasis is not on a noun, a thing, but on a verb, elusive but transformative and frightening. This is God saying, I am with you. I am at work in the world. This is God beyond our possession, even beyond our expression. We have no name for God, and so we have no control. And as our Acts reading says today, this is not a deity formed by human hands and imagination. Perhaps as he spoke to Moses about the I am identification, he was making the distinction between things which can be possessed and controlled and dominated, and the spirit and power of God, which we cannot possess or dominate. And yet, things can point to the unseen reality of God. We use things in our life of faith to bring to mind the reality without thinghood. We use things like water, bread and wine, music, books, prayers said aloud, to point to the unseen reality of God. These are the things of our life of faith, and we use them to gesture toward the more powerful reality, the reality we cannot see, the reality without thinghood. In other words, we use things to practice our faith, our knowledge that God has not left us at all. As Hebrews says, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, may not have a physical presence, yet the Holy Spirit remains real and a real help to us in our human physical world. The Holy Spirit and Advocate frees us from the prison of thinghood, from the prison of relying only on what can be seen, from the prison of relying on a definition of life that takes place only in mortal flesh. Because a prison is not often a physical place, but an emotional, spiritual place where we feel we are under the oppression of others. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus tries to help us make that transition from our reliance on things to our reliance on the Spirit of God. In the Beatitudes, he talks to us and says, despite our physical challenges, poverty, persecution, mourning, we are blessed because of the Spirit of God, which transcends the physical, transcends the thinghood of the physical world. Then, blessed by God and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, we find those things that are invisible, but more important. We find righteousness, mercy. We find that we are pure in heart. We are peacemakers. We find a reality that transcends things and moves us into something powerful. That gift that Jesus left behind for us is the Holy Spirit, which kindles in us the fire of God's love. When we are motivated, empowered, and inspired by this Holy Spirit, the Advocate, we love God and we love one another. But if these things of faith that are so important cannot be seen, how do we find them? How do we know where to look? Ultimately, we have to remember the gift we find is not a thing at all. The gift is the Holy Spirit, our second advocate, who speaks to us of Jesus and the Father, who teaches us to seek and imitate Jesus and the Father. The gift of God's presence comes through this Holy Spirit, elusive, powerful, and frightening. Those hints about where to look come to us in the person beside us. They come through the books in our pews. They come through the worship we share, the music we hear. They come to us in the instincts and hunches and coincidences we experience. They come to us in the longing we have for something other than thinghood. All of those physical expressions hold messages from God. Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh, but Jesus is writing us a letter using the second advocate to tell us where to look. He tells us through the Holy Spirit of where to look to find him and to find and remember his love for us even after we no longer see him. We no longer see Jesus, but Jesus hasn't left us. Those letters sent to us individually tell us where to look. God is here. We only have to open those letters from the Advocate to know where to look to find our Lord. Amen.